is almost an extension of my sight. So I see more things when I'm walking, and I would say that's the biggest benefit, because you miss so much when you're in a vehicle.
Happy National Walking Month. I'm Rosie from Living Streets, the national charity that stands up for pedestrians. This is the first in our special series of podcasts to celebrate National Walking Month, which is our annual campaign dedicated to celebrating and raising awareness of the benefits of walking. The month focuses on how walking can take you to more than just a destination. It can take you to better shape, more family time, hidden treasures in your neighbourhood, a fatter wallet from savings on petrol or public transport, and a healthier environment. Each of the podcasts in this series will focus on a different benefit. This one, to mark the launch of the month, will look at how walking can take you to a clearer head. All truly great thoughts are conceived by walking, Nietzsche once said. When we go for a walk, we walk out of the door with problems, and more often than not, we return with solutions. Walking is relaxing, helps ease worry, and helps us to concentrate. It's a great mood lifter and a stress buster. In this first podcast, we'll be meeting a few of the people who understand just how great walking can be for your mental well-being, including Maria, a teacher who says that walking whispers some of her brightest ideas, and Beth Murphy, head of information at mental health charity Mind, will be giving us the expert's perspective. And we'll be speaking to our stats expert Tim Fitches, who'll be giving us the lowdown on his favourite facts and statistics about the benefits of walking for a clearer head.
Hello, my name's Jane, I'm from Living Streets. Today is the first day of National Walking Month, and I've come out for a walk with Maria Costa, who is a teacher from North London. We've come to Allen Gardens, just off Brick Lane, and Maria's going to tell me a little bit about what she enjoys about walking. So, hello Maria.
Hello Jane, it's a pleasure to be here.
So, how often do you walk, Maria, and what sort of distances? Is it a regular part of your routine?
Yes, I have the set part, the functional element of walking, which is essentially walking to work and back home. I use walking to actually get somewhere I need to get to, and that's perhaps 20 minutes there and 20 minutes back, so it's, I would say, a quarter of a mile or something. It's not very far. But then when I'm walking for my own pleasure, perhaps at the weekend, and when I'm in central London, then I tend to just walk from different areas. So I could be in Piccadilly, then to Leicester Square, then Oxford Circus. So I go all around. Just, it depends how I'm feeling on that day. Easily I could walk for 2 hours in the city. I haven't yet evolved to walking in the countryside. just exploring the city that I live in, I suppose.
And that's the sort of thing that you'd miss if you were on the bus or in a
yes,
car,
absolutely. So many little quaint places that I would never even see on a bus, certainly not in a car. So I suppose if you're driving, you're not focusing either. On a bus, you might focus a bit more, but when you're walking, you focus completely. I find I do it in any case.
So you're teaching young children, yeah, Maria, and I could imagine that must be a pleasure and quite
yes,
stressful at times. Is
definitely.
Is that walk home, does that help to yeah, relieve some of the stress of the day?
Yeah, it really does, and it sounds cheesy, but it does help you gather your thoughts and to sort of break down the day that you've just had and to decompress. I mean, so many people, when I'm walking back from school, so many of my colleagues will say, oh, do you want a lift, especially if it's raining a little bit or if it's cold, and I always say no, and they always think I'm crazy, but it's just because that time is really quite important to me. Somebody said that you do conceive great thoughts by walking, and I think that's true. It helps me to gather ideas and things and be a bit more creative.
I know you're a writer as well, Maria. Is it good for ideas? And for...
Yeah, absolutely, because in a way you're walking and you're not doing anything else, so you're not distracted. Your mind's quite lucid at the time. There's another quote that says that you think of things when you're in the bed, bath and on the bus, but I change that to walking. So you think of the next thing you want to do, or for me, an idea that I want to write about. I've actually just returned from a solo holiday. I went to Santorini by myself to write, and it was for 10 days, so it was quite a substantial amount of time. It was a tiny island, so I was walking everywhere. After a couple of days, I realised I could literally walk from one village to the other, because the island's made up of maybe 5 or 6 villages, and it would take maybe 40 minutes to walk from one to the other. It was so beautiful. I really felt as if I got to know the island and also the people, because it was at the beginning of the touristic season, so it was quite sparse. There weren't that many people around, so people would notice me walking around. And there was actually a part I was going on this tour boat thing, and I had to walk down 300 steps, but these sort of really wide pebbled concrete steps. And that walk, I just loved it. It was so lovely. It was, first of all, it was a beautiful island, so everything was so, it was like a visual feast. I got to see everything, the colours of the sea and everything, and the mountains and the volcano and all that sort of stuff. And I got to talk to people along the way, and just to be in that kind of environment was really inspiring for me. I did actually write sort of 30,000 words out there, which was really cool.
That's inspiring.
Yeah, I know. So I think it was the walk that did it, actually. So, yes, it helped me to get to know an unfamiliar place. So I'm very grateful for that holiday and that walk.
Are there any other benefits you found from walking?
Well, when I first started walking to work, I moved specifically to an area where I could walk and it not take so long, because in the morning I have such an early start. That does need to be quite a realistic length of time. So I lost like half a stone though. I didn't change anything else. Like, I was eating the same diet and stuff, but it just made me lose a bit of weight, which, you know, is a positive if you feel like you kind of want to or need to or whatever. Toning up, just the physical element to it, of course, that's going to happen regardless. You sort of see people as well, and you say good morning to them. I say good morning to people, and you know, that's quite rare in London, what yeah. with the urban solitude that's going on. So you see the same people every day, so you sort of get to know the community a bit more, which can be quite nice. And you see things, I notice things about where I live. And then I change my walk sometimes as well, which is quite nice, so you see different things. I feel like walking is almost an extension of my sight, so I see more things when I'm walking, and I would say that's the biggest benefit, because you miss so much when you're in a vehicle. Yeah, I would say you see more, you notice more things when you're walking. That's probably the biggest benefit for me. But I think it's subjective, and different people will benefit in different ways, especially with regards to what they're going through in their life at that time.
Well, thank you very much, Maria. And you can hear about Maria's adventures in Santorini and walking around London if you go to www.30something.co. Maria, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
Well, now it's over to Tim Fitches, our stats expert. And Tim's going to tell us about his top five favourite facts and statistics about how walking can lead to a clearer head. So, Tim, tell us, what's your number one favourite fact?
Thanks, Rosie. Well, let me just say, there's so much compelling evidence out there that it's been really hard to whittle them down to just five. But my number one stat is around how walking is just such a great stress buster. The Economic and Social Research Council found that people who walk regularly in a green environment have lower blood pressure and feel less stressed after just 8 weeks. Walking helps in so many ways, it's almost embarrassing. It improves your mood, your self-perception, your self-esteem. It helps you sleep better, and it reduces your anxiety levels.
That's a wonder drug. So, Tim, what's your second favourite stat?
Well, a study by the University of Stirling in Scotland showed that walking is an effective intervention for depression. Not only that, but it was as effective as other types of more vigorous exercise. We know that physically active people are up to 30% less likely to become depressed, and staying active helps those who are depressed recover. That leads me on to my third stat. An American university this time found that 45% of patients diagnosed with major depression no longer met the criteria for depression after exercising 3 times a week in a supervised setting. Now, this compared to 47% of patients who were prescribed antidepressants. So a long story short, exercise is as good as medication at combating depression.
Wow. That's very impressive. And we know from people that we work with that walking provides us an opportunity for social contact in a way that driving to a location can't do as well, which is a mental health benefit in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's particularly key for older people who might otherwise be at risk of isolation. This ties in with my fourth fact. A study of 120 previously sedentary older people, so people that don't do any exercise, found that after a year of moderate intensity walking, their hippocampus had grown by 2%. Let me just say that again. They haven't got a pet hippopotamus that they're overfeeding. We're talking about the hippocampus, which is an area of the brain important for memory.
That sounds amazing. So walking's not just great for tackling stress and anxiety, it's great for your memory as well.
It certainly is, yeah, and also for your concentration. My final stat for today is that children who walk to school have better concentration than those who are driven. Some Danish researchers ran something called Mass Experiment 2012. Now, this evaluated the connection between concentration, diet and exercise. They looked at almost 20,000 Danish kids aged between 5 and 19. They found that compared to children who were driven to school, those who cycled or walked instead performed significantly better on tasks requiring concentration. So we're talking about things like solving puzzles or doing mental arithmetic. And what's more, the effects of this enhanced concentration lasted for up to 4 hours after they arrived at school. So in a nutshell, we're saying that walking is pretty much a superpower.
Fantastic. Something that families might like to conduct their own experiments into by giving walking a go this Walk to School week, which takes place from the 19th to the 23rd of May. Well, thank you very much, Tim, for sharing your favourite walking stats with us.
Thank you. I'll be back again soon.
I'm Jane from Living Streets, and today I'm here at the offices of Mind to talk to Beth Murphy, who is their Head of Information, and we're going to be talking about walking and how it can be beneficial for your mental well-being. So, hello Beth.
Hello.
We've all heard about stress in the workplace, Beth, but how widespread is it and what sort of impact does it have on workers and on employers as well?
Yeah, workplace stress is very common. We know that one in six people will experience depression, anxiety, stress at work. So that's, you know, probably in every workforce, at least one person. The sort of impact that it can have is everything from just finding day-to-day things a bit difficult and, you know, an employee may be struggling with one or two tasks, through to actually being signed off and having quite significant time out of work. The impact for employers is obviously on the productivity, and also, you know, the well-being of their staff is always important to people, so that can be really quite serious.
Which leads me on to my next question, actually, is how that stress might manifest itself and how serious it can potentially be.
Yeah, so stress, a little bit of stress is good for people. We respond quite well under pressure, and it can help us to achieve deadlines or to perhaps take on a task that's something we've not tried before. It can be quite a good motivator for people. But when that tips over and becomes something that actually feels like an unnecessary amount of pressure, something that might stop people from sleeping, or it might mean that you wake up in the morning and just can't face going into the office.
Well, we've all felt like that.
Or maybe if you've got a particular task to do and you find yourself just staring at the screen and you can't get through it, or if you work outside, you know, something similar to that. That's when it becomes something that is more significant, and it can have an impact on our mental health, so the way that we feel about things, anxiety, feeling low, depression, those sorts of things. But it can also impact on us physically, so it can stop us from being able to sleep well. It might mean that we're not eating properly. It might mean that we're stopping taking exercise, all of those sorts of things, and they can all join up together and just create this really quite big problem that can feel overwhelming and insurmountable at the time.
So if you're feeling that you're under a bit of pressure and maybe experiencing some of the things that you've just described, what sort of things can you do to try and address that?
There's lots of things that you can do, which is great. It means that people can try and take some steps to make themselves feel better. One of the things that we talk about is trying to get a separation between work life and home life. So trying to find a way where you can take that marker in the sand that says, I've finished work and now this is my time. I'm going to take some time to relax, be with my family or my friends, enjoy myself, so that you're not constantly thinking about work. And one way that you could do that would be to walk to work, for example. We know that walking means you're outside, you're in nature, you've got all the advantages of kind of seeing plants and trees and seeing things change as you go along. And also your brain can kind of unwind in that time. You can leave the things at work behind. You can begin to think about your evening and take that bit of space. And similarly, if you walk to work in the morning, that can also be really beneficial because it can help you to gear up for the day. You can start thinking through what's on my to-do list, what am I going to prioritise, and break down those big tasks that felt really terrifying when you woke up and kind of get them into order. So that can be really useful.
It can help shake off the cobwebs, can't
Absolutely.
It? That's for sure.
Yeah.
Could you say a little bit more about the relationship? I mean, you just suggested, you know, walking can be a good strategy of coping with stress at work. So could you say a bit more about the relationship between your physical health and your mental well-being, and how walking or exercise might play a role in that?
So we know that NICE guidelines, which are the guidelines for treatment for different mental health problems, recommend exercise for mild to moderate depression as something that's been shown to be beneficial, been shown to make a difference to the symptoms and to make people feel better. And the reasons for that, we think, are to do with the way that it releases certain sort of feel-good hormones in your brain, so things that actually can make you feel quite positive. So lots of people will have the experience of going out, doing exercise, getting your heart going, and at the end of it feeling quite upbeat and energised, and that's to do with the chemicals that are released. And it can also have a really positive impact on your self-esteem. So for lots of people, if they're feeling low, if they're struggling with mental health problems and stress, they might have quite sort of low self-esteem, maybe bad self-image, bad body image, those sorts of things. And if you're exercising regularly, that can help to improve that and make you feel better about yourself. And then the final way it can be really useful is it can help you to sleep much better. So we know that when you're stressed, you sleep really badly, you don't do any exercise, the sleep pattern continues, you feel too tired to do exercise, it all kind of rolls on and rolls on. But if you can get out do some exercise, then you're physically tired. It means that you sleep much better at night, which can make a massive improvement in your mental health.
So what kind of things can employers do to help ensure their staff are supported and to keep them well?
One of the most important things that we talk about here at Mind is making the workplace somewhere where it's okay to talk about your mental health. So using things like supervisions between line managers to talk about how are you doing and make that part of the conversation. How are you feeling? What are you struggling with? Make an environment where people feel really comfortable to come to you and say, I'm struggling a bit, I'm feeling a bit stressed. So that's the first thing. And then once you've got that open environment, I suppose it's about asking your employees, what is it that would help them? So maybe installing showers if people want to cycle to work or walk to work so that they can have a shower when they get in the morning. Maybe you could give people flexible working hours if they wanted to do, you know, a longer walk before they got to work, or they wanted to leave early in the winter when it's still daylight. Extending lunch breaks, you know, sort of playing around with the hours that people work. And then even small things like letting people sit next to a window if they're struggling in the winter when it's really dark can make a really big difference. So having that open space, getting people opening up, talking about their feelings and talking about what will work for them.
So it's the first day of National Walking Month today, and of course it's Walk to Work Week from the 12th to the 16th of May. So Beth, everyone at Mind, are they going to be joining in Walk to Work Week?
We'll certainly be doing our best. We'll be taking our own research that showed that 88% of people who went for a walk felt an uplift in their mood, so we know that it can be really beneficial. I think we'll try it in a range of different ways. Some people might walk the whole way, but there'll be some people who live too far away, so perhaps getting off the bus a few stops early or getting off the tube a little bit early. Or one nice solution might be if people have kids, you could walk your kids to school in the morning and then you could, you know, get to work in the way that you normally would. Or another thing that people quite often find useful is to come home a little bit early and go for a walk before you get home in the evening. So there's lots of different ways you can engage with it.
And if people want to know more about how to manage stress in the workplace, or if they're struggling, what should they do?
The best place to start would be our website, which is mind.org.uk, and we've got resources on there for people to help them, you know, deal with stress in the workplace, deal with stress outside of work. And we've also got a big campaign about workplace mental health resources for line managers and employers, so you could log on to that, download them, give them to your boss, or if you're listening and you're an employer, you might find some useful things there as well.
Marvellous. Beth, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's all we've got time for, but we hope you've enjoyed this first episode in our series of National Walking Month podcasts. We hope you feel inspired to discover the benefits of walking this May. We'll be launching our next podcast, which will look at how walking can take you to better shape in the run-up to Walk to Work Week. Walk to Work Week is our national workplace challenge, which takes place from the 12th to the 16th of May. You can sign up now at walktoworkweek.org.uk. You can create your online workplace, log all your walks to count miles walked, calories burned and carbon saved. You can even see who can be top walker in your workplace. We hope you'll join us. See you next time.